All right, Acts 9. Remember, we've been talking about Saul. And we are going to be in verse 26 today. Acts 9, 26. And when he came to Jerusalem, this is Saul. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. Remember why? He had been a previous terrorist, arresting the saints and dragging them back. Had an encounter with the Lord. But those disciples were not there in that encounter, were they? But they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles, and described to them how Saul, had seen the Lord on the road, and that he, Jesus, had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he, Saul, was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. And when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So how interesting what happened here out of just one relationship. One relationship. Barnabas went on his behalf to the apostles and the other believers in Jerusalem. So let's just quickly remind ourselves about Joseph, whose actions and lifestyle gave him a new identity and a nickname, the Encourager Barnabas. Barnabas means divine inspiration, son of prophecy. So remember, we had rehearsed a little bit what Barnabas did and what he was like. God had enabled him to look at people and not see where they presently were or what they presently were doing, but where he was calling them to, what they would become. So he knew that Saul, who soon would be called Paul, had a divine calling on his life. And Barnabas risked his reputation on what he prophetically saw from God. He went and said to the apostles, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem and the other believers, hey, this guy had an encounter with God and he changed. I'm a witness to that. And you can believe that he is a different person. So I'm going to make some proposals today. And I propose that we all need a Barnabas in our lives. We all need someone who can see beyond our slip-ups, beyond the things we currently struggle with, beyond our discouragement, frustration, anxiety, and see the person that God has planned and called for us to be. So today we're going to look at three people that I believe that we need as part of our lives. When you think about that, we all need that statement, we all need a Barnabas in our lives. Does someone come to mind? What would it look like to have a Barnabas in our lives? From 1 Thessalonians 5. So encourage one another and build up each other, just as you already are doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work, they who work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show great respect to them and wholehearted love because of their work. Live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. So we are challenged, and even we could say commanded by Scripture, to encourage one another. So remember what we've been learning a lot in our teachings and even at the combined men and ladies class? We have a choice. We have a choice how we're going to respond. We have a choice of how we're going to interact with people. So we can choose to be an encourager or not. A Barnabas speaks in such a way into your life and my life that we are built up and not torn down. He speaks, or she speaks, words that give us courage. Words and actions that keep us from quitting. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where, like, okay, I'm just going to quit this. I'm going to stop, give up. Enough's enough. And then someone comes into your life and speaks something that encourages you, gives you courage to keep going. A Barnabas does not take away our courage, does not discourage us. When you say something to someone that discourages them, you're robbing them of their courage. But they are acting in such a way that they give us renewed strength, renewed courage, so they are encouraging you and I. That's what 1 Thessalonians just said. And we here all believe, at least I think so, that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers. And so if the Holy Spirit was inspiring the writers to say, encourage one another, then we want to take that charge seriously. Verse 15 says, find ways to be good to one another. That means that we're looking for ways to help and support one another, to not tear down, to not criticize, but instead building up and thinking how to lift each other up. Ephesians 4:29 makes that really clear. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication. That means no rotten word. So you know what rotten is, right? When you open the trash can and you haven't dumped it for a while and the smell comes out, that's rotten. Or if somebody who locked up the church forgot to take the diaper out of the nursery, and I come in the middle of the week and walk down the hall, that's corrupt communication. So it says, let no rotten communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good and helpful. Wow. So again, we have a choice, but it does require us to stop and pause and think, doesn't it? Because sometimes that thing's getting ready to come out that maybe we should have thought of first before we said it. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good and helpful, so that you encourage, listen, and give grace to those who hear you. So when you're having a conversation with somebody, are you speaking good communication, corrupt communication? Are you speaking things that are helpful or things that are discouraging? Are you speaking things that impart grace to one another? So, thinking about the let's have Barnabases in our lives. Did you think of anyone? Now, I'm purposely not going to look in that direction because of what I'm getting ready to say, but I have a Barnabas in my life, and it's Pastor Kurt. So I get emails from him. I get text messages from him. I actually sometimes go to my mailbox, and there will be a card, and it'll be, hey, Pastor Steve, thinking about you and praying about you this week. And so there's been a number of times where he's been that person that has encouraged me not to quit and to keep going on. So hopefully you have someone like that in your life. So thank you. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says that all things should be done for edification. So again, are my words and actions building others up or tearing them down? Okay, so now I want you to listen to this statement. Yes, we each need a Barnabas in our lives, but we each also need to be a Barnabas to someone else. Because there are times where I've been discouraged and wanting to quit, and people have been that Barnabas for me, but there's times that I've been able to speak to someone and have a conversation with them that encouraged them not to quit or to give up. So we each need a Barnabas, and we each need to be a Barnabas. All right. So if you remember, I said we were going to look at three people today. That was one. So we're back to Acts 9. Acts 9. Verse 31, so I'm going to give you a second to get there. Acts 9, 31. You ready, church? So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Now, as Peter was traveling through all these regions, he came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a man named Ananias. Oh boy, that is a tough one. So you can read it right there. There is a whole lot of vowels all together. A-E-N-E-A-S. Who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up. And all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, whose name in Greek is Dorcas. And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Isn't that a testimony, huh? And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died, and when they washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Now Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay, come to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing him all the tunics and garments that Dorcas had made for them while she was with them. Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. Huh? That would shake you up a little bit. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. Wow. And it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Peter stayed many days there with a tanner named Simon. Okay, so we all need a Barnabas. We all need a Peter. Peter is someone who stands with us and believes for the miraculous. See, Tabitha had friends who cared about her and for her. She had family who was there with her and supported her. They appreciated her deeds. But then someone who knew what Jesus had done before and believed that he would do it again showed up. So we each need prayer warriors, intercessors, those who believe Jesus for the seemingly impossible. Because sometimes we have situations that to us seem impossible. Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." So you realize that we could make a list. Okay? These are the things that are possible with God. These are the things that are impossible with God. Oh, no, wait a minute. There wouldn't be anything on that list, would there? But we tend to have some things in that list. So I think we need to pray about that and say, God, can we shift them over to... In Matthew 19, Jesus said, "Some things are impossible for mankind to do, but with God, all things are possible." That's why we need people in our lives who can stand with us in prayer, in faith, and believe Jesus. And then sometimes we need to be that prayer partner for someone else. Now, if you don't have these people in your life, then you need to ask God to reveal to you who they would be. So that when you call and say, "Hey, my husband's on the respirator in the hospital, would you be praying?" You have people praying who believe that God can touch him and bring him through that. So we all need to be a Barnabas and have a Barnabas. We all need to be a Peter and have a Peter in our lives. Someone who will stand with us and believe for the impossible. Someone who will stand with us and believe for the impossible. That will together with us believe Jesus to do the miraculous. Amen, Mike? All right, and then sometimes we need to be that person for someone else. We each need a Barnabas, an encourager, and we need to be an encourager. We each need to be a person of faith, and we each need to have a person of faith. Finally, today, we're going to remind ourselves about Paul. Okay, he was Saul. He became Paul. Why? Because he was called as an apostle. An apostle is one who is set apart to be an ambassador. So it's almost like God said, "Okay, I have my kingdom, I have my government, and now I need to send out somebody to represent me on the earth. And so I'm going to send out apostles, called ones, to go forth with my message." They bring and speak and announce the truth. Now think about that a minute. That sounds pretty good until you think about the fact that sometimes that truth means no beating around the bush. It means no hinting or suggesting. It means delivering the truth. So what Paul heard and learned, he spoke and delivered to others. He spoke to Jews, Gentiles, believers, unbelievers, friends, colleagues, churches, and individuals. Paul says in Romans 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, chosen and sent out by God to proclaim the gospel." That's exactly what an apostle is. Chosen and sent out by God to proclaim the gospel. "I long to see you," he's talking to the church in Rome, "so that I can bring and impart to you some spiritual gift that will help establish you." See, that's what an apostle wants to do. He's not really there to comfort you and be cozy with you. He's not there to be a Barnabas in your life. He's there to spur you on, impart something to you that will propel you forward. So we all need a Barnabas. We all need a person of faith, a Peter, and we also need an apostle. Somebody who will speak those things that we need to hear. He brought words and messages that were challenging, that pierced to the heart, that called you to lay down some things and pick up some things. He said things like, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Pretty clear. No beating around the bush. He didn't say, "Except you nice people," did he? "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard." Straight truth. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, Jesus." "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not." Ooh. Okay. Straight out delivery of the truth. Trying to propel you forward. Never, are you catching the absolutes? Apostles speak in absolute because the kingdom of God is absolute. "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, and as far as it depends on you, be at peace with some people." All people. There it is again. Challenging words that cause you and I to advance, to step up, and to mature. Paul said to the believers in Galatia, "Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth?" Because he had delivered some truth and they weren't too happy about it. So he says, you know, we had a relationship. What happened because I started delivering the truth? Do you now see me as an enemy? "Oh, my spiritual children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains." Okay, he's trying to propel them forward. He's trying to help them mature, and it felt almost like labor pains. "And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life." See, that's an apostle's goal. To help you mature until you become exactly what God has destined and called you to be. So, just a reminder again, we each need an encourager, and we each need to be an encourager. We each need people of faith in our lives. We each need to be a person of faith for someone else. And we each need an apostle in our lives. Now, how do you get an apostle in your life? Well, Paul was a little different because he was sent out to travel around and establish churches. Nowadays, there isn't a whole lot of establishing churches going on. There's some, especially in some other countries where there's a lot of salvations. But now, here in the U.S., you invite an apostle into your life. What you're doing is you're saying, "I believe that you care about me, you want the best for me, you love me, and so I'm inviting you to speak these hard truths into my life." Because if I feel I'm an apostle, and I just walk up to a stranger in the street and I say, "Hey, you better change your lifestyle," how well is that going to be received? But if you say to me, "Hey, would you come and share some things that you see in my life? Some ways that I could become more like Jesus. Because I know you love me and you care about me and you want to see me grow and develop." That's how that relationship works. So I want to pause here a little bit and just give you a chance to share. This is a morning of sharing. Have you had one of those three people in your life? And what did that look like? What did that feel like? So if you had a Barnabas, an encourager, come and stand alongside you, tell us a little about that. There you go. So some days you're the Barnabas and some days she's the Barnabas. Awesome. Thank you. All right, so we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. The first thing we're going to do, because we talked about three people we need in our lives, I want you to just think about, do I have each of these three people? And if not, then we're going to just ask God to bring them into our lives, to show us who that would be. So let's just take a minute. So Father God, first we want to start by being grateful. Thank you for the Barnabases, the encouragers we've had speak into our lives. And Jesus, if there's any here who cannot identify those people, who cannot say, yeah, I really do have someone who stands alongside and encourages me and tells me not to quit and can see beyond where I presently am and the struggles I'm in, would you bring a person like that into my life? And then, Father, thank you for those people of faith who have stood with us when our faith was a little bit shaken and we needed someone to come alongside and say, be healed in Jesus' name, be restored in Jesus' name. And they prayed for us and believed Jesus to do the miraculous. Thank you for that. And Father, if we don't have that person presently in our life, maybe it's because we're not currently in a situation where we need Peter to come to town and to step into our room and say, hey, arise in Jesus' name. But we're praying and asking you to bring those people who are people of faith into our lives when we need them. Help us to identify them, and thank you ahead of time for making them a part of our lives. Father God, who in our lives can speak those challenging words, those truths that we need to hear but maybe are not easy to hear? Thank you for bringing those kind of people into our lives, people who want the best for us and are in labor pains with us as we go through the maturing process. If we don't have someone like that, we ask you to bring them into our lives. We give you permission to bring that kind of person into our lives. And then, Father, as we get ready to close, we say, use me to be an encourager to someone else this week. Just bring someone to mind that I can message, that I can text, that I can Facebook, that I can call, that I can drop a card in the mail and just say, I'm thinking of you and praying for you and believing with you. So, Father, help us to be an encourager this week. Help us to be a person of faith who can pray for someone else and their family when it's needed. Again, Holy Spirit, remind me to be that person of prayer, that person of faith. Thank you that, yes, you've made us a family, but we're also part of the larger body of Christ, and we're thankful for that, that we have different gifts and different callings, and you want us each to use those gifts and those callings. And Father, we can be those encouragers to people who don't even know you, people we work with, people in our family, who don't have a relationship with you, we can still encourage them. We can still be kind to them. We can still speak grace into their lives and allow that to be something that spurs them to find Jesus, that spurs them to ask about my relationship with Father God, that would help to identify that, yes, I am a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who so loved them, that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross and to be raised from the dead on their behalf, on their behalf. Give us each opportunities this Christmas season to share that good news, to be that encourager, to be that person of faith into someone else's life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.